welcome to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast, hosted on the Daily Grind Cycling Journal. Visit us on the web at tailwind-coaching.com or like us on Facebook at Tailwind Coaching. And now, your host, Coach Rob.
Welcome, riders. Welcome, racers. Welcome, weekend warriors. We are back with the Tailwind Coaching Podcast after about a three-week hiatus. It's been a long 3 weeks, folks. But we're back. We've got a great show for you tonight. We're going to discuss getting your money's worth in a racing or organized event type situation. And I actually have a special guest on the line who's going to discuss that concept with me. And we'll get to him in just a few minutes after a couple of quick announcements. Number one, the cyclocross season has begun. Nittany Lion Cross happened here at the Trexler Town Velodrome. Actually, I think it was about a week ago now. And that's the start of the cross season here in the Northeast. The Mid-Atlantic Cross Series has started. And that means if you haven't started training, now you better get your butt out there and start doing it. That being said, my cyclocross plan has been available for now for about 5 weeks. I've got a couple of folks who are invested in it. They're doing very well with it. They are really, really killing it out there. And they're noticing some pretty big gains. So if you want to take a look at that, head on over to the website, tailwind-coaching.com, and you can actually look for that in my downloadable training plans section. It is in with the modular training plans. It is a modular plan. It was designed to be used with the with my base module, base or build module plans. A little late for that, but you can use it as a plan all of its own. All right? Those of you who are looking for one-on-one coaching, I still have a few slots available. I've had a couple of consults with people who have passed on the one-on-one option and are leaving a few slots open for those of you who are interested. If one-on-one coaching is something you are interested in doing, I suggest you do get a hold of me rather quickly. CoachRobDC@gmail.com, or you can find me on the website tailwind-coaching.com, or you can find me on the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page. Those of you who are emailing me, give me a couple of days. It's been an extremely, extremely busy time. I do return all the emails, of course, that I get, be they questions or coaching consults or anything in between. Speaking of the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page, go ahead over there. If you have questions, go ahead and ask them over there. The chances are a few other people have the same questions that you do. And finally, if you're listening to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast and you really like what you hear, do me a favor, go over to iTunes and rate the podcast. The more ratings I get, the more people I'm able to reach, and the more people I'm able to reach, the more inclined I am to sit behind a microphone every couple weeks and dispense free information. Okay? If you really hate the podcast, go ahead, rate it 1 star and leave me a reason why. Maybe I'll read your email on the next podcast about why I suck and and maybe how I can make the whole thing a little bit better. All right? That being said, let's get into the meat of today's show. The meat of today's show is going to be, again, getting your money's worth for an organized event, for a race, for Grand Fondo, or what have you. And I do have a special guest on the line who's going to sort of add a pretty experienced voice to this. Good friend of mine from a few years that I've known for quite a few years in terms of cycling. I've actually watched him go from a beginner to a guy who pretty much rides and races all year round. And we're going to get him on the line in a couple minutes, and we're going to start this show off with a bang. All right, back from a quick break, and on the line I've got a good buddy of mine, Gerald Berliner, the CEO of Branding Life up in Ulster County, New York, and someone I've ridden with for quite a number of years now, and who has a whole lot more experience on let's say, the Fondo type ride than I do. Gerald, you there?
I am here, and it's a great pleasure to be here, Rob. How are you?
Great having you, too. Now, you just got finished with a couple of charity rides, I'm thinking, right?
That's right, yeah. It's a very good timing, as they say, because actually today I just actually did a local charity ride, which was for raising money for cancer. Very, very noble cause up in Kingston. New York. And last weekend, last Sunday, was the, I think some would say, the epic Grand Fondo New Jersey down in Morristown, which was
epic.
The epic, yes. It was, I mean, as epic as, you know, these things would probably get, certainly for somebody at my level. But anyway, yeah, so, and that was good. And had a good time down there. It was a good, tough little ride. And I actually had just opted to do the Medio as opposed to the full Fondo, which was enough. It was a good, solid workout, to say the least. But,
well, yes, 65 miles of hills around here is nothing to joke about, really.
Yeah, exactly, and that wasn't even the time ones. So yeah, it's kind of interesting, you know, when people say, you know, I've done a lot of Fondo, done a lot of these rides, and I think it's fair to say that a lot of these rides have done me. Anyway, there
you go. That's sort of the idea behind them, anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. But as we peripherally started to discuss, you know, the topic for you know the podcast, you know, there are so many different kind of variables when, you know, you're thinking about, you know, primarily, you know, what is the motivation to want to, you know, part with certain cases, you know, a fairly considerable amount of money. And in terms of, you know, what do you class as good value for that, as opposed to, you know,
exactly. How do you define value for your dollar? And
yeah.
And let's be honest, some of those things are a little expensive. We're talking about Grand Fondo New Jersey day of was, what, almost $200?
Yeah, I think that was it. I remember when I did my package pickup on the Saturday, I saw a cool $185 right there. And then if you wanted to register there, and then I think it even bumped up to about $195 day of on the Sunday. So, yeah, they weren't joking.
But that's a good point, though. I mean, I did Grand Fondo New Jersey last year. You and I both did that. And I think it was cheaper last year, though. I think we early registered, and it was maybe only 140 or something at that point.
Yeah. I mean, and also, I mean, you know, let's face it. I mean, you and I are, you know, a pretty, you know, hardened, avid group riders as well. And you and I have also separately tried to organize just local club, you know, regular, whatever it is, that a Thursday or Saturday morning club ride. And even then you can understand, you know, sometimes the logistics of even doing that, you know, it's like you've got to send out the emails, you got to do this, that, and the other. So I think, you know, in terms of what's always intrigued me is, you know, what are the costs involved of putting on, you know, a big, you know, top level Grand Fondo ride, in terms of from just logistics, all the, you know, the printed materials, you know, the chips, and also liaising with local
police and EMT and all that stuff.
EMTs, I mean, do they have to, you know, slip them a few shekels, or do they do it out of the goodness of their heart? I don't know, who knows? But no. You know, and I mean, just from, you know, who knows how much that really does all cost at the end of the day. And yet at the same time, let's just say you're slapping down $85 to do, you know, Grand Fondo, whatever, you know, how much of that $85, you know, is actually goes towards just the pure logistics of mounting a ride like that, from, you know, the marketing aspect of it, you know, all the tchotchkes, you know. And that's obviously another topic, you know, in terms of different, you know, you get a different level. Like, say, for example, Grand Fondo New York. I mean,
you've got the freebies.
You know, you got a nice jersey, you got this, you got that, and it was this, that, and the other, and, you know.
But on the other side of it,
you kind of felt that, yeah, okay, this is kind of that. And on some of the others, you know, you kind of, you know, you're paying similar kind of cash, and you're getting a kind of a little medal and a pint glass, you know, and it's like, okay. Okay, you know.
But on the same side, though, look at Grand Fondo New York. They make you wear the jersey. You can't wear your, right, you know, your team strip or your team kit.
That's
kind of annoying on my end. But that's, you know, it is what it is. But it's a really good point that what are we paying for if we're paying? Let's use Grand Fondo New Jersey, and I guess the median registration that I had a discussion with somebody about this online, and it was the median registration was something like $130. And, you know, what percentage of that goes for all the various stuff, the permits and licensing, the closing down the green or the streets, and the use of EMTs and police and things like that. And along the same lines, they've got sponsors for that kind of thing.
Right.
Where's that sponsor money going from, you know? I don't think Jameis and, let's see, what was it? It was Jameis and Powerbar and a couple other ones. I don't think they were only throwing in, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 for something like that either.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, you know, a lot of the after ride get-togethers, whether it's, you know, the food, the gathering, there's, I mean, certainly at those rides, there were a lot of other big sponsors there with their sponsor tents. I mean, there was SRAM, you know, there were a lot of big names there, you know, you can't deny that. But, yeah, and also, I mean, somebody at the end of the day has got to be making a profit because, you know, as much as, you know, people do a lot of this out of the goodness of their heart, you know, it is, some of these are businesses, you know, and people are, you know, trying to make some money off it. But I think, you know, it depends on, you know.
I kind of wonder about that, though. And I think maybe that gets into the difference between racing and between the, you know, the Fondo and charity. I think we should also try and maybe differentiate between the Fondo and the charity ride, because I think the charity ride is really sort of singular purpose to raise money almost.
Right.
Kind of reminded of the Ride the Ridge event that we did when we did it the first year, and they were trying to raise money for the day school up there in Stone Ridge. It was 50 miles
yeah,
bananas and water.
Bananas and water, yeah. But then again, you know, unless, I mean, you know, again, you know, hey, I'm just going to call it. I mean, you know, I looked into that, and this school, you know, you read the promotional stuff. It's to raise money for this local school, and like immediately, like, oh, great, you know, had a local school. This was a private school. This is for actually quite affluent families to send their kids to a private school. This is not your PS 90, whatever, you know, public school, or a school that's, you know, kind of
needing funds. Let's put it that way.
In need, you know, it's in dire need of funding, you know. So that was kind of interesting to find out afterwards, you know. Okay. But then again, you know, you think to yourself, well, again, what then it comes around to, what's one's own personal motivation? I mean, what makes one want to do these rides? I think a lot of it comes down to, there's no question, you know, it's the camaraderie of being part of a big cycling event, even, you know, a local charity one. You know, it's a nice thing to be, you know, 10 to 1, you're probably part of a cycling club, and a lot of people from the club are doing it. You might be entering as a team. So, you know, there's all kinds of different kind of motivations as to, you know, why you're going to not worry too much about, you know, putting down the money.
Well, that's true. I think that's true. And I think that's more of the Fondo type thing, or the Fondo type ride, than we, you know, as opposed to a charity type ride. Charity rides, like the one in Kingston, as I remember, was mostly local people that came out for it.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're doing something on the magnitude of Livestrong, which...
Right.
Let's leave that for another leave that for another topic. But yes. I mean, something like that'll draw people from around the world or around the country.
Yeah.
But you know, the local charity ride, I don't know, is drawing people from across the country for. but for something like a Fondo or something of that nature, I could see that being a big draw, and it would draw people off just for the excitement of riding in a new area, for that matter.
But, yeah, I mean, there's no question. I mean, there's another, a new Fondo going off in my area for the Gunks, the Grand Fondo Gunks, which had its first run last year. And, you know, that has to be targeted at, you know, people from the city to come up.
Tourism.
You know, because the tourism, yeah, because there's, I mean, I know, obviously, as one does, you know, one knows a lot of the riders in the area, and there is going to be very few of the local riders up here that are going to want to pay what the fee is to kind of ride on roads that they basically ride on every single day, you know, from that perspective. So, You're right. I mean, I think a lot of that depends, but yeah, I mean, certainly the local charity one, or the charity one, it was a lovely social thing. You kind of knew a lot of people there. There was a lot of kind of, you know, familiarity, and it was just a fun day out. It was kind of more of a family oriented, if you want to give it a better, you know, another kind of description.
Gives you a chance to get together with people that you don't normally see for at least for a cause, as opposed to just, you know, we're going to go out and hammer 50 just for the fun of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And that kind of thing sort of, you know, makes you question too. If in my case, if I'm paying $30, you know, every weekend to race, you know, what's the motivation other than, you know, just going out to race? I mean, you've been in the racing scene too, and it's, you know, what's the payout in Cat 5 is maybe a park tool pump if you're really lucky.
Yeah, I think Battenkill was a bottle of chocolate milk, you know. But
well,
then again, you know.
I think Battenkill's an anomaly in that respect. I mean, that's a hell of a race to have on your palmarès.
You're right. I mean, you know, that is just I survived and I did it, as opposed to kind of, you know, any kind of like, you know, real.
Well, hell, at least one of us survived that. That's at least something.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's
so much for the early season.
Subjective. Yeah. There you go. So much for, yeah. Well, you know. But I think, you know, a lot, and again, you know, a lot of these things, whether they are races or they're the big fun or the rides, you know, you will do it just for the hell of, you know, saying, I did it. You know?
Exactly.
And it's a kind of an achievement. And, you know, are you ever going to do it again? Well, probably not. I mean, there's a couple of, you know, of the rides and races that I've done, you know, and that's what it was all about. It was doing it. It was an amazing experience, and I've done it. You know, I've got that on me. I wouldn't exactly say my palmarès, but you know, it's like you can chalk that one up. You've got that off your cycling bucket list.
And you check it off, and you're done with it.
You check it off, and you're done with it. You know, but I think, you know, it depends. I mean, I must admit, you know, once you know you've signed on the line that's dotted, and you've, you know, you've registered, whether it's, you know. I think for me, I'm not really that. This is just me personally. I mean, I'm not really kind of like looking at, you know, well, this isn't, you know, or this isn't that much. I mean, okay, admittedly, you know, if you're on a ride and all you're served up is, you know, bananas and water along the way, then yeah, that might, you know, make you sit up and take notice. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, as long as you've had a, you know, a great day or a great ride, and you know, you met some cool folks, and you know, you've put in a, you know, done a decent ride yourself, and you've got something, you know, some good memories from it. You know, I think, I don't know, I'm usually of the mind of like, hey, you know, it was worth it just for that, you know.
And I think that's an interesting point, but I think it's a tough thing to, I don't know, how do I put it? I think it's a tough thing for the respective, let's take, again, to pick on Grand Fondo, New Jersey. If you're going to spend, say, $130 to $150 a person, I mean, if you're doing a family of three, and don't forget, that was for every ride. That wasn't just for the Grand Fondo. That was for the Medio, the Piccolo, and whatever the other one was. I don't
Breve.
The Breve. Yep. I mean, if you have a family that's doing a Breve Fondo, you're talking, what, $450 to go out and ride an event?
And as I say, I mean, like myself, I mean, I was coming in from, you know, obviously upstate New York. And so obviously, you know, I had to get accommodation. You know, so you can, you know, the expenses, you know, continue. I mean, you've got, you know, getting your accommodation, whether it's a hotel room or wherever you're staying, then you've got the dinners on top of that. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, it really starts to add up. There's no question.
Well, I think that leads up to a question that, I mean, in this economy, if you have a family type event, something like that, that's tough to do. That's a really tough thing to do for a family, especially if you're, I mean, you'd go to Disney for that for that price, really, if you think about it. But
it's true.
I mean, I can't wrap my head around how an average family would determine value for the money in that. I mean, sure, Grand Fondo, New Jersey, or Grand Fondo, New York, they give away a jersey, they give away a medal. You know, is the swag what makes cost of entry, you know, worthwhile, or is it more? I mean. What about the concept of bringing back prize money for placings in things like this? Because I mean, if you go back to the original Grand Fondo model, the new the Italian Grand Fondo was basically just a mass start race. You know, it was a bunch of guys from a local club. They wanted to make some money for the club, so they put on a race, charge $5 or €5 or five. What do the Italians used to use? Was
lira,
it lira?
I think, wasn't it? Lira?
Five lira, whatever it was.
For 30. I think that was the Romans, but there you go.
Maybe it went that far back. I don't know.
Yeah, you
did
know.
They have bicycles in ancient Rome?
Those Italians, they were good riders back then.
Well, you had to be to have all that armor on.
Centurions.
But, I mean, for the, you know, five lira, they'd have their wives cook dinner at the end of the ride, and they'd drink a bunch of wine and pass out and make a few bucks for the club. Yeah. But, I mean, the American model is make a boatload of money for, at least in this respect, and a charity, but... You know, that's some of that's going into somebody's pocket anyway. But
I think also, you know, I think does one, you know, want to get overly philosophical or, you know, deep about it? But, you know, the whole spirit of what cycling's about is, in essence, supposedly the simplicity of it. You know, the simple pleasure of just riding, you know, with a bunch of friends or on your own. And then, you know, it then gets elevated into this great big thing that has sponsors and, you know, everyone's still at the amateur level. I mean, you know, it's not like it's...
Did see George Hancappy there. I mean, and the guys from Jameis.
Yeah, it's amazing how I saw, what's his name up at Hunter?
Floyd.
Floyd, yeah. It's absolutely true what they say. These guys do look so much taller on television.
Oh, he's a midget.
He's not, well, hang on a minute, he's taller than me.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think I'm a midget, but anyway, no. But yeah, it's funny. I mean, I don't know what it is, you know, they become these kind of like very statuesque, kind of like godlike figures on TV, and you're kind of standing next to them at the start of a fondo or just, you know, wherever it was Floyd was, and it's like, you know, oh, hello, mate, how are you? Oh, okay, how are you?
Yeah, he's also, you know, goofy,
you
though.
Was like, last time I saw Floyd Patterson, I think he was on 60 Minutes. It was like, oh, okay. But but you do, you got a chance to heckle George Hincapie, and, you know, it's not many people get that chance.
And he wasn't really big either.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's the TV, man. It's just like, they're gigantic. They're these big, huge, powerful guys, but...
Well, the camera adds what?
They're just these regular guys, you know.
Well, the camera adds what, 5-10 pounds?
Yeah.
Does it add inches, though? That's the question.
Yeah, well, it might be getting off track there. Well, I think we should leave inches out of it.
Well, I mean, by that respect, Chris Froome is probably only about 4 foot then, if that's the case, right? And he's always looking at his stem.
Semi-transparent, I think.
One of those little runner guys that when he turns sideways, all you see is the point from his nose, and that's about it.
Yeah. Oh god!
Oh anyway. Man!
Anyway, where were we? Right. Yes. But I think, you know, I think it's very individual. I mean, I think that, you know, whether it's a collective opinion about, you know, what should dictate great value for money, or what is great value of money, or what should there be in terms of the very least when you're parting with, you know, upwards of $8,500, however many dollars, you know, in terms of what the expectation is. I think a lot of it is about, you know, personal, you know, so, I mean, you know, this, you say that, you know, there are a lot of people with a lot of money out there. You only have to see the kind of bikes they're riding. You know, these are people, you know, I think in terms of, we're talking, you know, as you were talking, or one talks about, you know, it ramping up, you know, if we say that, you know, you have $135 to enter a Grand Fondo and you have a family of four, I mean, you know, you do the math, it kind of adds up. But then by the same token, I mean, you also have to realize that, you know, depending on what level, I don't think you have to say what level. I mean, there's a lot of people with a lot of money to burn in this sport. I mean, you only have to kind of look at, you know, a lot of that hardware at any of these rides, whether it's even the local charity. You know, people spend have a lot of money to spend on the sport, whether it's their kit, their bike, you know, the wheels, there's
oh for sure,
you know, so people, you know, I think a lot of these people aren't that hard up to kind of like, you know, splash out on a weekend away doing a fondo on their you know, high end specialized S Works Venge Zip DI Dura Ace DI 2 bikes.
Well, you're talking the dentist on the, you know, Colnago type syndrome that we make fun of so often in
right.
Yeah, well, at least in the racing circles, anyway. That's we get a lot of that, but yeah. You know, it's there are a lot of people out there that are spending a lot of money, but you know, it's I think that's sort of the minority of it. I mean, you want to talk about expense? Let's talk about the cost of doing an Ironman triathlon, for Christ's sake. I mean,
right?
Yeah. What are they? Someone $700 or $800?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to suffer for 14 or hours or whatever. I don't even know how long it takes to do an Ironman. That's a new one to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think also, you know, to the point of, you know, what dictates the price point, you know, why are there, or what dictates that one fondo will be, I don't know, just plucking a number, I don't know, say $185 to enter, and another one will be God, I don't know if there is such a thing as a $90 grand fondo to end it, but you know, what dictates the price point on these things, and why is there, you know, sometimes pretty big discrepancy, you know, across even, you know, in the same state or, you know, the same area.
I think that goes back to the question of, you know, licensing, the question of sponsorship, mm-hmm. the question of, you know, what EMT or insurance or, you know, police do they need to do?
Right. Right.
I mean, it also goes back to the fact of, I mean, look at this from a perspective of racing. Most of the guys who are putting on races aren't making money off of those races, you know?
Right.
It's, I'm sure USA Cycling takes a chunk of that for, you know, for whatever it's worth, but $30 to enter a race, and, you know, granted, you may only race for 9-10 laps or something, you know, 10 miles, whatever.
Right.
But you're still paying your $30, and,
right.
You're not getting the numbers that Grand Fondos are getting. You're not getting the you're not getting the families type, you know, that Grand Fondos are getting. I think you want to talk about racing. Racing is purely you're paying for the ability to go out and just ride your bike.
Yeah,
and I think that's an entirely different world than the Fondo world or anything else. But, I mean, you want to talk about cost. I found a post from roadbikereview.com here. From someone who's supposedly producing the, what is it? It's the Fast Freddy Grand Fondo for Fred Rodriguez. It's out in California. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Fondos, marathons, they produce a lot of them. So obviously the guy's making money off it.
Mm-hmm.
Or one would think so anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But he says here, by getting the masses involved, you attract sponsor involvement and they bring bang for the buck. So you get jerseys, water bottles, and food. And they provide things you want to keep for a while, not just cheap crap. Well, that's my liberty, but I mean, how many times you get a water bottle from one of these things and go, oh, cool, another water bottle. That's just, what am I going to do with, you know, the other 50?
And it's usually a sponsor's water bottle. It's not anything with the name of the ride on it. Grand Fondo New York, they had very nice green branded water bottles, but I think the New Jersey one, I think it was on a Power Bar sponsor.
It was Power Bar Specialized or something.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, you got a sponsor's water bottle, which is great. Yeah,
I'll tell you, it's a good thing if you're doing something like Battenkill and you want to just toss a bottle that you don't really care about.
Yeah,
but you know.
Yeah.
But this guy goes on to say there's a ton of intangibles related to creating and managing a course, from the partial closers, the police and highway patrol escorts, traffic management, volunteer support. Volunteer support is a volunteer, for Christ's sake. I mean,
yeah.
You feed them.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, what else, you know, maybe they get to ride for free, but there's not, you know, 400 volunteers, at least that I'm aware of, doing those things.
Yeah.
SAG support, mechanical support, you know. Things like that. There's a big fanfare and a big start and finish with a lot of people, you know, music, sponsors, tents, banners, trusses. In other words, most of the stuff that you find at a halfway decent race, for that matter. Attracts other great riders. You get to ride with teams and well-known pros. That is kind of one of the cool things about it, at least that I've seen, is, you know, you can terrorize George Hincapie a little bit. And who doesn't want to terrorize George Hincapie? I mean, really.
This is Hincapie, probably.
Well. Is that where Big George comes from?
Shoulder to shoulder, he's not that big.
No, he's really not. Kind of small. But.
That remains to be seen. But,
let's see what else they got here. A good portion of the race fee is donated to a great cause, the Fast Freddy Foundation and the Osborne Foundation, to help children emerge from poverty through cycling and mentorship. And that's kind of cool.
That's great.
And he goes on to say you can replicate a similar ride any day, but you can't replicate the experience. You'll love it for sure. Mm-hmm. So maybe something that would be nice for these things to do is to break down what kind of money goes to charity. I mean, they never said what goes to Seeing Eye, what goes to Homeless Solutions in Morristown, what goes to any of those, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're kind of left in the dark going, man, I just laid out $150.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't say it's necessarily, you know, I'm not saying it's a cheap shot, but, you know, we're all kind of suckers that, you know, well, not suckers, but suckers for, you know, as soon as you realize or you see that there is some benefit, something's going to benefit, whether it's a charity for it, you know, it immediately, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, that's good. You know, just that kind of feel good feeling. Yeah, you're doing it, you know, going to get something out. You're giving back a little bit, that's it. But yeah, you're right, you never know exactly how much the Seeing Eye is seeing, or
you want to talk about suckers, let's talk about the stupid people like me who go out and pay $30, you know, 10 to 15 times a year to race for 10 miles or 15 miles or whatever. It's right. When I could easily do that and go out on a Sunday and just flog myself with the rest of the squad, you know.
That taps into why we do it. You know, what draws us to these. You know, I think everybody's looking for, you know, possibly different things. You know, whether it be the experience, the challenge. You know, a lot of you know, people that do these rides. You know, they've been training for them. You know, they've set it as a marker, as a goal. You know, for the year that they have. You know, been training for specific aspects of it, whether it's the time climbs or, you know, possibly, you know, fairly new riders to the game. You know, getting their teeth around, you know, what it takes to ride 100 miles, or, you know, their first century. You know, there's a lot of kind of different variables that, you know, I think will motivate somebody to want to enter these things.
Well, I think that's absolutely true, but I mean, if that was the kind of thing, and let's run off that for a second. If the idea is to motivate people to get out and ride, wouldn't you think like that the Breve Fondo or the Piccolo or whatever would be a lot cheaper than the Gran? You know, you would think it would be tiered.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, actually, to be quite honest with you, forgive me, I actually thought it was, but yeah, I think you're right, it wasn't. And yeah, I think that is a bit silly.
That's ridiculous.
To say the least, it is kind of ridiculous. I mean, you know, well, 25 miles and
$4 a mile,
$100. Yeah.
It's cheaper to drive, for God's sake.
Yeah, I know. For the first time, it's actually cheaper to drive somewhere. But you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it would be nice, you know, maybe at some point to kind of, like, you know, see if we could get somebody, you know, from one of these organizations to maybe, you know, chime in, and hopefully they will, you know, and to defend themselves or whatever. But
if they want to defend themselves and come on the show, you know, I'm perfectly willing to let them do that. Have no problem. Hey, Marty, if you're interested and you're listening, come on, let's have a chat and discuss what's going on here.
Yeah,
right, there's my open invite.
But you know, all said and done, you know, it was a great day, and I think a lot of people were very appreciative. And you know, I'm not really sure what the solution is in terms of what, you know,
Well, I mean, let's look at this. I found another quote here that said that, and this was someone who's obviously a cynic. I mean, people look at me like I'm a cynic, but let's be honest. This one's going to hit a whole new level. The guy says that Gran Fondo is really just Italian for a really expensive Century. It's definitely a new trend that needs to die. I don't want cycling to turn into golf where every good ride requires membership or a big entrance fee. I think commercial interests are attempting to take a simple and self-reliant sport and turn it into something else for the sake of money. And the only reason I say that is to segue into something that kind of chaps my ass, and that's the Bike New York events.
Right.
Holy shit, are they expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been, what, 4 years or 3 years since I've done one of those, and right. Oh my God, what? They're outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the Harlem Valley ride was, what, $110, $120, something like that?
Yeah.
And I mean,
there's like the 5-bar bike ride and stuff like that, you know, which is basically a lottery, though. Yeah.
I mean, you pay for a lottery ticket in that one, and then you have to pay to enter it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you end up walking the first 15 miles because it's so crowded, they can't, you know, it's no point. You can't get on your bike.
That's true. That's really true. Plus, it's all in New York City, and then you have, you know, the messengers who want to probably try and kill you, and God forbid you have, you know, some guy on the West Side Highway who decides he wants to, you know, take your bike or mug you in the middle of it.
Yeah, when you're actually halfway through the ride, you're actually on the bike.
You
feel somebody kind of like twiddling around with your rear wheel.
there was a rash of those, was it somewhere in Hoboken or West New York or something like that?
Yeah.
So they were warning people on the path over there to beware.
That's right, knocking them off or, you know, just garrotting them or,
mugging them, taking their bike. It's kind of interesting. Another one you're going to be doing, if I remember, is the Bicycling Fall Classic, right?
Yep, that's the one down in Pennsylvania, isn't it?
Trexler. Leaves from the Velodrome in Trexlertown.
Trexlertown. Yeah, and... a lot of the motivation for that is, as simplistic as it may sound, I actually dig the idea of finishing in the Velodrome. I think it sounds cool. It's a hell of a lot. Yeah, I mean, if I really boil it down, it's a long way for me to go. I will probably have to end up, trying to find some cheap motel if there is such a thing down there, and it'll be, you know, the best part of the whole weekend gone. But I don't know. I like the sound of it, you know, and actually kind of like Bicycling Magazine, actually. And believe it or not, yeah, probably about.
Well, that's one that we did last year, and I've got to say that one was actually – that sort of drives me to another point. The vibe between – like the Bicycling Fall Classic was – it was chill. But you could tell the people who were there really knew their shit. You know, it wasn't like Gran Fondo, New Jersey, where if you got stuck in the back, you were picking your way through new riders and, you know, people on recumbents and hybrids and all kinds of other weird stuff. It was pretty much everybody who was there knew what they were getting into and was experienced to that point. So the vibe of it, I think, makes a big difference too.
Right.
And, I mean, also for that one, you have the Velo Swap the day before, which is really freaking cool. But, it was nice, I will say, and I'm not a Fondo guy anymore. I'm not a charity ride guy anymore. I'd rather just write a check, you know, these days. But it was nice to ride, you know, realize you were riding with Bill Strickland for like 30 miles. And, you know, looking to Bill Strickland. Hey, what's up, man? You write some nice columns. Yeah, okay, that's cool. And in his own way, you're pulling into the Velodrome behind Bobby Lee. You know, three-time Olympian on the track. You know, just that's Bobby Lee. You know, that's Jackie Symes. He's a national champion. And Ted King just went by. Or you know, that was one of the funniest things. Sitting standing by the car and going, well, there goes a guy in a liquid gas kit. You know, that's pretty ballsy. Wait, that was Ted King. Shit. You know, that's kind of the I can see where that has its appeal, but that's one of the smaller ones too, though. I think there was only like 250 people at that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you've got someone like Gran Fondo New York, who I think quite clearly has its roots in Italy, because I think that two organizers, the man and the woman, I can't remember their names. I think
Andrea or something like that.
Yeah, I think they may be Italian or something. I don't know. And it attracts, actually, because again, you know, maybe it's the draw of the Big Apple or whatever you want to say. But, you know, it's got brings a lot of people in from Europe, you know, and they fly in, you know, from Italy and the continent, you know, to partake in it. So it's, you know, it has that dimension to it. It's definitely a very, very cosmopolitan ride, if you like that sort of thing.
Part of that Gran Fondo National Training Series or Gran Fondo National or Worldwide Series too, I think, isn't it?
Right, yep.
Yep. So, I mean, maybe it's people who are going for actual placings in that kind of event.
Yep, yep.
That's something too. But
That's true.
The bottom line obviously comes down to, you know, if you're looking at how do you make it worthwhile and how do you make it worthwhile to most people, obviously everybody's individual, so mm-hmm. you get your own thing out of it. But, you know, it's. I think one of the biggest things to me is the entry fees for these are so ridiculous when you have sponsors like Trek and Jamis and Powerbar, you know, whoever.
Right.
Why are they trying to make money off of the entry fee as opposed to, you know, have the sponsors put in a bit more and lower the entry fee, you know? I mean, that's like running a bar and you know, mm-hmm. charging a cover fee of $200, mm-hmm. but saying, I'm not selling drinks to you guys.
Yeah. But, and again, I mean, I can't talk to it in terms of knowing exactly, but, you know, is there a field limit to these things?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know.
I mean, you know, so Gran Fondo New Jersey, I think the total was, they estimated around about 2,000 riders, been able to cope with four. But there's the point. I mean, you know, you had Gran Fondo New York. I mean, when I did it, I think it was 2011. It was like 6,000 riders, and then the big news was that, you know, the next year they anticipated nearly double that. I mean, they barely managed to cope with six. I mean, you know, okay, it was pretty well organized yesterday, but some of the stops, I mean, particularly at Bear Mountain, I mean, it was just carnage.
Imagine 10,000 people up Bear Mountain.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, there were people falling all over each other. There were kind of, you know, people getting irritated and bikes falling. It was just, you know, chaos at the start, you know.
For those of you who weren't around here, too.
They're kind of like still trying to attract even more and more people to kind of like, let's treble it, you know, this, that, and the other. So I'm kind of just wondering, you know, I mean, I would imagine, I don't know whether or not, you know, local authorities would step in to say, hey, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know, those notices you see in restaurants that occupancy by more than 250 people is unlawful. I don't know if the same thing governs these type of events, because, you know, there obviously does have to be, there must be some kind of safety implication, I would have think, you know.
Well, I mean, just,
you know, thousands upon people milling around the streets.
Well, just the concept of, you know, 5,000 people going up and down. And for people who aren't in the Northeast, Bear Mountain is what? It's a 2-point-something mile climb?
Yeah, it's about that.
2.3-something, averages like 6%.
Cat 3 or something? I don't know.
Well, Strava Cat 3. I don't know if that's how it applies to the European category.
Yeah, there's upstate New York category and there's European category.
But, I mean, it's twisty, it's narrow, there is no center line that I remember on most of it, and it's an up and back, so if once you're up, you have to come down the same way you went.
Well, you have to go down. Are people coming up as you're going down?
And now, it was not closed to traffic either, was it?
No, I don't think it was.
Yeah, that's, it doesn't make any sense to me that you have 12,000 people doing that, but... yeah, for those of you who aren't around here, imagine trying to take like a 2.5-mile stretch of country road and put about 10,000 people going each way in it. Yeah, that's probably apropos anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's I wonder about that, and I don't think Gran Fondo New Jersey grew from last year. I think they had 2,000 people last year too. I don't think it was any different. But you know, the other question too is, do you do an event? Now, this is something, if you look at like a triathlon or a mountain bike has the 24-hour race format where they do you can do laps, things like that. Makes it very family friendly. Dark Horse in Newburg does the single speed of Palooza, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they do different length races. They do, you know, they have a beer garden, they have all that stuff. They sort of make it a grassroots type of event. Is that one of the ways to make it more, you know, more accessible or more interesting to more people? You know, the small grassroots events, smaller fields, you know, different events, smaller entry fees for those fields, and, you know, just get people out to the venue. I mean, is that it?
Possibly.
And I mean, the other question is Grand Fondo, New Jersey. I love picking on them because they're local. So,
I think we better preface to say we don't mean to be picking on. It just happens to be a local ride for you and just one that I did recently.
Exactly. So. And they've donated, more than $250,000 to charity. So, you know, good on them. Yeah. But I mean, what about taking the Fondo model and having like Fondo Light where you can add your options? Like, I've got a bunch of finishers medals. I don't want another one. I got more pint glasses than I can shake a stick at. I've got enough water bottles to give away, you know, on a Sunday group ride, probably five times over.
Right.
You know, why not just have the bare bones entry fee with no food, no nothing else, and let people add their options.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if that's something that's appealing to people, but that seems like it would be a...
Well, I mean, I think maybe that, you know, that does get back to a little bit more, should we say, of the perceived spirit of cycling. It's something you just grab your bike and you jump on it and off you go. And, you know, just something that is a lot more kind of, you know, should we say, bare bones. I use the word authentic, but you know, it's very, very simple. It, you know, you're out, you're part of the event, and you're basically doing it, you know, a la carte. You know, you can choose whatever it is you want to do, you know, and if it means you're not going to take any of the food and drink, then fine. You know, you're going to get you get a big pink band that means you can't go to the rest stop or something. I don't know.
Or you get a big pink band that says you go to the rest stop and you go to the barbecue afterwards.
Right, exactly. So, I don't know.
It's an interesting concept, and I think it's, you know, I've heard from a bunch of people, you know, the cost is getting way up there, and that's, I mean, I would like cycling to be a family sport. That would be what I would love to see, but it is just so expensive.
Well, as you say, I mean, and it's showing no signs of stopping. I mean, you know, and again, you know, you have to keep thinking, well, are the fees going up because, you know, the logistics are getting more expensive. You know, they're being charged more for all the, you know, tchotchkes and the printing, you know, and the marketing and the, you know, the policing, the EMTs, the insurance, you know, it's... You know, what is driving the price increases, and you know, and at what point are people just going to say no, I just can't do it, you know? And they, you know, is it going to then be a backlash, and these things are going to really struggle to be maintained year after year?
Well, you could always say too, it's what the market will bear. Obviously, if people are standing in line and writing a check, then they're going to keep charging that price, and feasibly probably keep raising that price.
Right. Oh, you know, and absolutely.
But is it you're getting into economics of, is it the fault of the market or is it the fault of the organizer who sets the price?
Right. Well, and also sometimes, you know, there's the age old, you know, adage of supply and demand. You know, if there wasn't a demand for it, you know, is the demand sufficient that you know, that they can justify these prices? Somebody's got to be paying them.
Well, Ironman's
paid them.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah. I've paid it last year too.
I paid it, and you know, and did I feel mizzled? Did I feel, you know, cheated or, you know, this other personally? No, I didn't. And you know, but that's just me. You know, I think.
Well, Ironman and triathlon is a really good example for that. I mean, they pay what, $700 to $1,000, and unless you're having some guy stripping off your wetsuit and, you know, handing you your bike and everything else, I think it's, to me, that's outrageous. who wants to pay $1,000 to ride a century and run a marathon and, you know, get kicked in the head repeatedly by the guy in front of you while you're swimming across a lake for that, you know?
Right.
Maybe it appeals to somebody, and let me retract that. If I'm going to Hawaii and I'm spending a week in Hawaii doing it, that's an entirely different story.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
but
Lake Placid, I don't know.
Yeah, Lake Placid is nice,
Hawaii,
but
Lake
I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. I really don't know about that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's a really interesting discussion, a really interesting thought process.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, I think it could also be something that, again, you know, I do think that it is actually, you know, quite a personal thing in terms of why do we do it, what motivates you. So, you know, maybe next week, you know, you interview, get someone else on, have a different point of view, you know, and, you know, I think could open up the debate.
I don't think there's...
Obviously, you know, as far as I'm concerned, this is purely one man's opinion, you know, and there's a lot that I don't know, and there's a lot that maybe both of us don't know in terms of what it really does entail to get these things up and running, but...
without a doubt. I think there's no such thing as, you know, there's one right way to do it, and I think the market has shown, obviously, that Grand Fondo model seems to work. Whose pocket that money goes into, or, you know, who it's donated to, or, you know, any of that notwithstanding, it works. Obviously it works, mm-hmm. because it's sells out all over the place.
Right.
But
okay. Excellent.
You know,
well, absolutely. Well, listen, I am afraid I'll have to go now. We'll do a nice scripted sign off. So, yeah, exactly. But I've got to go and register for the Black Bear Sanctuary. So I've got to go. Sorry.
Speaking of which,
I'm not doing that bugger again. This shit killed me last year. No, sorry. Once is enough on that one.
You don't want to climb 10,000 feet.
I mean, talk about want my money back. Black Bear Sanctuary. Didn't see a single bear.
Were you hallucinating at all, though?
Falling off a bit, but that was only.
So you didn't even have the hallucinogenic bear at all?
Nope. Ah. Not even Winnie the Pooh.
But he's not black, he's yellow.
Is he?
I think he was yellow. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I know. But anyway. Okay, well, listen, thank you ever so much for having me on. It's been a great pleasure.
Very good.
Love
thank you,
podcast.
Gerald.
Keep up the great work on this stuff. They're always very, very informative and very entertaining. And, yeah. So, you know, as I say, maybe hopefully this will open it up and, you know, some other people can give their POVs on this and, you know, turn it into a good old robust debate.
Well, that would be a nice thought.
Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely.
Mate, take care.
Thank you. Thanks, Gerald, for coming on, and maybe we'll get you on here again soon.
Absolutely. It'll be a great pleasure. Thanks a lot, mate.
All righty. Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, there he goes. Gerald Berliner, CEO, Branding Life, located up in the Hudson Valley of New York, up outside of New Paltz area, for that matter. Anyway, we had a really interesting discussion about that, and, you know, I'd really like your guys' opinion on this. I'd like your input on this. I'm ringing! Welcome. You've got mail.
Yeah. Hello, I've just heard that podcast. I'm totally outraged. That British bloke doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Don't ever have him on again. He was dreadful. He's completely ruined the Coach Rob Manning brand.
All right, after all that, as I said before, folks, I would really like to have your input on this. You can find me on the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page. You can find me all over the place on Twitter, Coach Rob DC on Twitter. You can find me on Tailwind Coaching on Facebook. You can find me at tailwind-coaching.com. Again, if you enjoyed what you heard today, go on to iTunes, rate me 5 stars. The more people that rate it, the more likes I get, or more likes, haha. I'm talking about Facebook. The more people who rate it and the more stars I get, the higher up it gets, the more people can get this information. Let me know what you thought of the two-person podcast. Maybe we'll make it a regular occurrence on the show. That'd be a really great thing. That being said, everybody who has listened and has an opinion, go ahead, Throw it out there. Throw it out there on the website or on Twitter or on Facebook. I'm really curious to hear everybody's opinions on it. Until then, whether you're a Fondo rider, whether you're a racer, whether you are just a weekend warrior who likes to go out and sniff the petals and watch the leaves change on the trees and fall in front of you, I want all of you to ride safe, ride happy. I want you to get strong. I want you to be well. I want you to keep the rubber side down and keep the soft side up. Folks, I will talk to you real soon, and we'll be back with the Tailwind Coaching Tailwind Coaching Podcast. Hopefully not going to be a three-week hiatus this time, but we'll be back before you know it. Thanks. Be safe. Talk to you really soon.